All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Friday, everybody. Man, that was a fast week, wasn't it? Today is November 14th, 2025. And our top story this morning, once again, is the AI bubble. Guys, I think it may have just popped. Now, look, I have come on this channel many a time over the last 2 years and talked about the AI bubble and, you know, railed about how ridiculous it was, but often said, I don't think this is what pops it. I don't think this is a bubble burster. Oh, my God, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. But people are still forking over money for it. I think we're watching it pop in real time, guys. I think it is basically March of 2000 is what we're seeing play out here. And there was several stories. I got to send a shout out to a couple of people who have been emailing me stuff. Pasta Man, you're awesome. Roger, thank you so much, who sent me a couple stories yesterday. I think the bond market is rejecting data centers here. And look, the data centers, they have no money. The people building these things out don't have the money. They've promised all these billions, hundreds of billions, even trillions, gag me with these numbers, of money they're going to spend on these data centers. And then they go to borrow it, and they can't. Nobody's willing to lend it to them, which means this stuff isn't going to get built. Now, look, we've still got to get through NVIDIA earnings next week. And NVIDIA earnings will be amazing, most likely, because look, OpenAI lost $12.5 billion last quarter. Where do you think all that money went? Most of it probably went to NVIDIA. So I'm sure they're going to report a lot of it. But remember Palantir's earnings and how great they were and how many Fs the market didn't give about how good Palantir's earnings are? Did anybody watch Cisco yesterday reporting blowout earnings? How it just beautifully rose to exactly the level of March of 2000? And then gave up more than half of those gains, ended up closing the day up about 4%. Anybody notice how the market is kind of yawning at very good earnings here and then brutally punishing anybody who posts anything other than excellence? Well, let me tell you about some of these stories that I saw. First one, Applied Digital yesterday, which is this like shitco data center builder. I remember CoreWeave stock rallied several months ago and all the CoreWeave bros were, you know, eating their crayons and talking about how much money they were making. Applied Digital went to borrow $2.35 billion to build a data center for CoreWeave. The bond market said, uh-uh. They, from what I read yesterday, they were only able to get commitments for $2 billion of the $2.35 billion they were trying to borrow. So they didn't even get to the amount they wanted. They were only able to sell this debt for 97 cents on the dollar, which means, hey, I'm Applied Digital and I want to borrow a dollar to build a data center for CoreWeave. They couldn't get it. So they said, okay, loan me 97 cents and I'll pay you back a dollar in 5 years. They had to lower the principal. They had to lower the price in order to get anybody to lend it to them. So the debt only sells for 97 cents on the dollar at issuance. And the interest rate they're paying, 10% on that. Bond market is saying, we don't think CoreWeave can afford to rent this data center that Applied Digital is trying to borrow the money to build. And therefore, we're not going to loan you the full amount. We want you to pay us back more than we're going to lend you. And you're going to have to pay us 10% interest a year. The bond market told CoreWeave and Applied Digital where to stuff it yesterday. Meanwhile, CoreWeave's in debt. Let me start this over. Meanwhile, insurance on CoreWeave's debt, otherwise known as credit default swaps, you big short guys may recall that phrase, 741 basis points to insure CoreWeave's debt right now. That means if you're trying to buy insurance on a bond from CoreWeave, you are paying 7.4% annually of the face value of that debt just for the insurance. And again, that is the bond market saying, we think CoreWeave going to go kablooey, which if you've been following this channel for the last 2 years, you know is a mathematical certainty, not to mention a reputational certainty, because the guys running this company are freaking dirtbags. And you can see it every time Michael and Trader talks, I giggle just a little bit at what a freaking scumbag that guy is. He is so obviously lying through his teeth. And why again? Why were you guys running carbon credits through shell companies in the Cayman Islands again back in the day? Never did get an answer on that one. And to this day, not one journalist anywhere in the world has reached out to me with any questions about my research on CoreWeave. Not one. Now that this bubble is imploding and it's $20 trillion, still nobody's got any questions for Jack. It's interesting. But hey, nobody saw this coming. Off of CoreWeave and onto Oracle. Oracle is getting in on this one. That stock has sold off 30% over the last couple of days. They're now below the price they were trading at before they reported that ridiculous remaining performance obligation number back in September, where Oracle just basically took the sum total of all the commitments from companies that don't have the money and then lumped it together into one big giant number and reported that as if it was their earnings. And the market's like, oh, eat my crayons, buy Oracle stock. Yeah, Oracle now trading below the level before they did that, but there's more. Oracle debt now trading at 92 cents on the dollar. People don't think Oracle can pay them back. Why? Probably because they're borrowing money that they don't have to build data centers for people who promise to rent them with money they don't have, all in the name of keeping NVIDIA's earnings inflated. All will be sacrificed at the altar of Jensen. Meanwhile, a company you've probably never heard of, I've never heard of them, TSS Inc. They reported earnings yesterday. Not a huge deal. It's only like a $500 million market cap. But here's the thing. TSS Inc. reported a 40% decline in revenue. But where does their revenue come from? Almost all of their revenue comes from Dell. TSS Inc. builds data center cooling solutions for server racks. And their revenue dropped by 40%. And all of their sales are from Dell. Dell reports earnings next week. What's Dell going to tell us next week if somebody who gets all their money from Dell is reporting a 40% sequential drop in the quarter? And keep in mind, Dell's biggest rival, Super Microcomputer, just reported a horrible quarter, and the stock got sold off because of a delay. Oh, an unexpected delay. And don't worry, next quarter, everything's going to be better. Is Dell going to report a similar delay based on what TSS earnings showed us? Probably. We've got SoftBank has now sold off for 3 days in a row, including 9% yesterday after selling their entire position in NVIDIA to finance purchases of NVIDIA chips. There's the snake eating its tail. That's adorable. And we've got an article in the Financial Times talking about phantom data centers. Whoa, there's some spooky language in this article. If you've been following this bubble and then you read what they're talking about in the Financial Times, holy crap. All the utilities are lowering their estimates for the number of data centers in the pipeline because they're saying the people promising to build these things, financially, it's not realistic. They don't have the money. Oh, finally, somebody's saying none of these guys have the money they're promising to spend. And so the utilities are drastically revising downward their estimates of the number of data centers in the pipeline. You hear that bubble going kablooey? I sure as heck do this morning. Meanwhile, we've got Zuckerberg sending a letter to his staff after their earnings talking about how it's okay if OpenAI and Anthropic go bankrupt because we have a lot of cash flow because we sell ads on Meta and everything else, you know, tormenting little girls, all that whole thing that Meta does. Zuckerberg's talking about, don't worry, we're not going to go bankrupt. Wait, I thought we were talking about the most insane demand ever and, oh my God, we're so compute constrained and we can't build this stuff fast enough. And now we're talking about bankruptcy? That escalated quickly, says Ron Burgundy. Wall Street Journal saying, who's going to pay for the AI revolution? The answer is retirees. We all knew that. We knew they were coming for our 401ks. Now they're just saying the quiet part out loud. I'm shocked that they're willing to admit that. All right. That's the AI stories today. Yikes. We've got other ones. 15,000 layoffs at Verizon announced yesterday. By the way, that's 15,000 people who won't be passively investing into their 401ks anymore. 15,000 people that won't be buying the S&P 500, which is made up almost entirely at this point of just those Mag 7 stocks. Again, unemployment can kind of feed into a liquidity strain within markets, the endless bidding up of these stocks. If we see a surge of layoffs, it ain't good for the market. China's economy continues to stumble this morning. We got several bad indicators about investment and industrial production from the Chinese. The United States is lowering tariffs on agricultural products from Ecuador, Argentina, Guatemala, and El Salvador. And they're talking about how they're lowering these tariffs in order to bring costs down. Now, that's funny because they spent the last few months telling us that tariffs won't raise prices. But then they're telling us that removing the tariffs will lower prices. Anybody picking up a little bit of inconsistency here? How about we just treat people like grown-up human beings and we not insult their intelligence and we say, yes, tariffs will raise prices to an uncertain extent. We'll find out. But the reason why we're doing this is to reshore manufacturing. And we think in the long run, that pain will be worth what we hope to achieve from that. You know, talk to people like adults instead of freaking children. No, we're talking about politicians. Sorry, I forgot about my target audience there for a second. Also going on this morning, Walmart CEO is retiring. The stock is selling off a little bit on that news. Not really sure what to make of that story. Maybe he's just an older guy and he's like, hey, you know, I'm gonna take my golden parachute and sail off into the sunset. Or maybe he's saying, yikes, I see what's coming and I'm getting out of Dodge. Guess we'll find out. And we've got a crazy story about private credit this morning. Check out what Apollo and KKR quoted for the same debt product. The same, it was, what's the name? I can't remember the name of this company. But an IOU, basically a private credit debt and asset from one of these companies. And they both, they're so far apart, it's obvious that they're just completely making up these marks and that the prices mean nothing. Oh, and like, let's hurry up and let that crap into our 401ks and our IRAs. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. Stick around for the end of the show for that one. You're not going to miss that. You're not going to want to miss that. Oh, guys, we got a lot to talk about today. Hey, why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button for the algorithm so you can come back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads. And by tomorrow, I mean Monday, because we do this every weekday. We don't do it on the weekends. Every now and then, we got to recharge our batteries, right? Hey, the S&P 500 right now down 64 points or almost 1% lower, adding to this week's sell-off. Better hope for a little bit of a rally into the close. Otherwise, it's been a tough week here. The Dow down almost 300 points, 288 points in the red after selling off more than 700 points yesterday, 0.61% lower. And the NASDAQ is getting clobbered here, 355 points lower, 1.43% in the red. Again, guys, this could be it. This could be it. We're going to talk all about why. The dollar is a little bit weaker here at 99.17. Now, this is interesting. Yesterday, we were watching an across-the-board sell-off in assets. Everything sold off yesterday, right? We had yields going higher. We had gold and silver sold off. Bitcoin sold off. Stocks sold off. Everything was selling off, and yet the dollar was getting weaker. And that didn't make a lot of sense to me. I was talking to Mish. I'm like, WTF, if we're selling everything, where is all of that value going to? It's not the dollar because the dollar was down. And then I saw this one this morning. I got my answer. Market jitters send Swiss franc to a 10-year high on euro as euro and pound stumbles. You know, the Swiss franc is one of those safe haven demand currencies. And I guess that's what people were buying yesterday as they were selling literally everything, including the dollar. That's not something I had. Also, by the way, guys, there is some news in the UK, which I think is probably contributing to this one. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, we got to take a trip through the bond market. The 30-year yield is at 4.687, off by 1.5 basis points this morning. The 10-year, 4.087, also lower by 1 point. The 2-year, 3.568, lower by 2 points and change. And the 1-month, 3.956, higher by just about 1 basis point. Now, I mentioned the UK and the pound just a moment ago. Let's scroll up a little bit because look at what's going on in the UK bond market this morning, especially these long-term gilts. You know, that's the name in the UK for their long-term bonds. Up 11 basis points, 11, 10, 11, 10, 10, 10, 9. All of these long-term UK gilts, the yields are up 9, 10, 11 points. That means those prices are selling off. There is a ruction in the bond market in the UK, otherwise known as a gilt trip, if you will. WTF is going on over there. Well, the UK's Rachel Reeves abandons plans to raise income taxes, roiling markets. Now, look, I'm generally one of those taxation is theft kind of guys. But here's the thing. When your government is running a huge debt, you have two choices. You can stop the freaking spending. Well, they told us a few months ago they don't want to do that. Or you can raise taxes. And now Rachel Reeves is saying, no, we don't want to do that. Well, if you're not going to do that, it means you're going to have to borrow more money. If you don't cut spending and you don't raise your income, you got to borrow more. And of course, the bond market is saying, F you. You're irresponsible. If you're going to keep leaning heavily and heavily on us, we're going to demand a higher price to loan you money because we're starting to have second thoughts about whether or not you can pay us back. And really, the only way you can pay us back is if you turn on the money printers again and pay us back with printed money, which means you're going to rejigger inflation. And if inflation is going to come back, then we definitely want a higher interest rate for the debt we're going to loan you and make sure that the money is still worth what it's worth now by the time you pay us back. And so, yeah, the UK bond market's freaking out. And that's probably contributing to why the Swiss franc is rallying this morning as well. Meanwhile, we've got metals are not looking good here on the commodities board. Gold is selling off $123. That's for spot gold, $4,048, off by almost 3%. New York COMEX gold futures for December, $4,051. That's off by $142 here. Second day for the sell-off in metals here, and it's getting more severe. Silver is getting clobbered here. $50.36 for spot silver, down by $1.91, off by 3.6%. And of course, the New York silver futures are even worse. $50.16 for December silver futures, lower by almost $3, 5.6%. Looks like silver's back on the menu, boys. It'd be getting cheaper over there. Either way, even when the price is down, I like the shiny. We've got copper is lower by 1.65%. Platinum is lower, 4.5%. Palladium is lower, 5.2%. Metal is getting cheaper everywhere. Oil, that's getting more expensive. Up $1.20 for December WTI futures, $59.90. And speaking of things getting cheaper, check out Bitcoin this morning, $95,580, off another $4,000 after the sell-off. Bitcoin's bear market is accelerating to the downside. Again, guys, we've been warning about this one for quite a while. Let's take a look at this article here we got in Bloomberg. Bitcoin's bear market deepens as ETF investors yank $870 million. You know, ETFs showed a lot of money flowing into Bitcoin early on, and the prices rallied when the ETFs approved. But you know what? The ETFs can take that away just as fast. It makes it even easier for people to sell during bad times. Bitcoin fell further below the 100,000 mark as a bout of risk aversion sweeping across markets saw investors pull nearly $900 million from funds investing in the token. The largest digital asset sank as much as 2.8% to below 96,000 on Friday before paring losses, leaving it more than 20% below the record high last seen in October. The crypto market remains under strain after $19 billion in liquidations on October 10th, in turn erased over $1 trillion from total market value of all the cryptocurrencies. That's according to CoinGecko data. The liquidations keep coming, with more than $1 billion worth of leveraged crypto bets wiped out in the past 24 hours, according to CoinGlass data. If only somebody had been warning people every day to be careful on leverage when dealing in crypto. If only somebody said that over and over again to the point where you can hear the eyes rolling every time he said that. If only. Meanwhile, exchange-traded funds investing in Bitcoin saw net outflows of about $870 million on Thursday, the second largest daily withdrawal since their debut. It's not just Bitcoin, guys. Check this one out. MicroStrategy. Somebody poke Michael Saylor with a stick. Make sure he's still breathing. Good God. Pre-market, $200.86 for MicroStrategy shares. This thing peaked in November of last year around $540. It's down like something like 64% from its all-time high back when the, you know, the Michael Saylor infinite money glitch was all the rave. Gee, you think maybe when people start talking about infinite money glitches, you think there might eventually be a reckoning that, like, if you do this thing and it seems like money just magically appears out of thin air, that can continue forever, right? Nope. No, it does not. MicroStrategy down more than half since then. Be careful here, guys. If Saylor gets liquidated, Bitcoin's going a whole hell of a lot lower. All right. Before we get into all these AI stories, I want to send a shout out to my man, Roger, who was Johnny on the spot yesterday. A lot of these stories I'm going to bring you right now. I got late last night that Roger sent me in a message at RD147 on X. Fantastic research, Roger. Thank you so much for sharing it with me. Guys, a lot of what I'm going to bring you in the next few minutes came from Roger's research. So thank you very much. By the way, mainstream press, that's how attribution works. When somebody else does all the work and then you report on their work, you say where it came from. I'm just going to throw that one out there. You guys do what you want with it. All right. Bloomberg saying CoreWeave tied data center debt tests strength of flooded market. And turns out flooded market, not very strong in a shocking turn of events. Applied Digital sold $2.35 billion of junk bonds at one of the steepest discounts of the year as the deal struggled to generate investor demand. The offering priced Thursday at 97 cents on the dollar at issuance. That's amazing. At 97 cents on the dollar with a yield of about 10%, according to a person familiar with the matter who asked not to be identified. The transaction was met with some caution from investors amid a rush of debt offerings to fund data center construction. The deal was also seen by investors as riskier than recent ones from those from TeraWulf and Cipher Mining because of their reliance on speculative grade CoreWeave as the main tenant, Bloomberg previously reported. Now, those previous offerings that they're talking about from TeraWulf and Cipher Mining, Google parent Alphabet backstopped those offerings. In other words, mom had to co-sign, if you will, for the debt for TeraWulf and Cipher Mining. So they were able to get those deals through at a better price. But in this case, when Applied Digital goes to borrow, the reason Applied Digital is building this is so they can rent it to CoreWeave. And the market took one look at CoreWeave's books and said, hell no. Of course not. The main tenant of CoreWeave, the market is, what is it? They're questioning the reliance on speculative grade CoreWeave. Yeah, it's a company run by crooks that can't possibly pay it back. Few other junk bonds have priced with similar discounts in 2025, according to Bloomberg compiled data. DirecTV's deal in September priced at 97 cents on the dollar, while Patterson's offering tied to a leveraged buyout sold at 94.5. All right, so CoreWeave, you're trading up there with DirecTV's debt. How's that going? But it's not just CoreWeave, or it's not just Applied Digital's debt that isn't doing so well. Take a look at this one from Consensus Media at Consensus Gurus on Twitter. Again, that's how attribution works, guys. You say where you found it. Up, up, up we go, CoreWeave. Now, this chart is showing credit default swaps for CoreWeave's debt. This is insurance against default for what CoreWeave borrows, and the price of that insurance goes up. Why does the price of fire insurance go up? Maybe it's because the house is on fire, to use the metaphor from C.S. Lewis. Insuring CoreWeave's debt currently 741 basis points. You got to pay 7.4% of the face value of the debt every year to insure it against default. That is the market saying we really doubt CoreWeave can pay us back. Again, the bond market, it's telling us something here. And it's not just CoreWeave or Applied Digital. Take a look at Oracle, this one in the Financial Times. Oracle hit hard in Wall Street sell-off over its huge AI bet. Larry Ellison's software company falls more than its rivals over borrowing and reliance on open AI contracts. Oracle has been hit harder than big tech rivals in a recent sell-off of tech stocks and bonds as its vast borrowing to fund a pivot to artificial intelligence unnerved Wall Street. The U.S. software giant founded by Larry Ellison has made a dramatic entrance to the AI race, committing to spend hundreds of billions of dollars that it doesn't have in the next few years on chips and data centers, largely as part of deals to supply computing capacity to OpenAI, the maker of ChatGPT. OpenAI has promised to lease those data centers with money they don't have. The speed and scale of its moves have unsettled some investors at a time when markets are keenly focused on the spending of so-called hyperscalers, big tech companies building vast data centers. Oracle shares are down almost 30% in the past month, nearly twice the fall of the next worst performing hyperscaler, Meta. We'll talk about Meta in a minute. The slide has reversed more than $250 billion of gains in its market value when the Texas-based group disclosed its deals with OpenAI in September. A Financial Times index tracking the price of Oracle's debt has fallen about 6% since mid-September, significantly worse than any of its peers. And shout out to Lisa Abramowitz. Again, there's your attribution. That's how that works. Lisa is saying tech bonds are getting hit hard as of late as debt traders start wondering if they're getting left with a bill for the stock market's enthusiasm. Oracle's $3.5 billion of 30-year debt issued in September has cratered by 8% from the October peak. This is another one trading below face value, just 92 cents on the dollar for Oracle's debt that they have taken out to build data centers. And look, guys, it is falling fast here. The AI bubble poppeth. And Oracle stock not looking so good either. Down another 1.9% pre-market today. It was down 4% yesterday. And the point I'm trying to make here, this is year to date. It's still up 30% year to date, but Oracle ran to like $335 after reporting that ridiculous remaining performance obligations number in the prior quarter. The stock is now trading below the level before they did that. Which means congratulations if you're one of those crayon-eating AI bros who was filling up my DMs with gloating messages who bought Oracle shares at $330. Well, I'm sorry that happened to you. Better luck next time. Meanwhile, check out this one. This is a company we never hear from, TSS Inc. All right, and I have to admit, before I heard from this one yesterday, shout out to my buddy Pasta Man who sent me this story. Pasta Man, you rock, brother. I had never heard of this company. And now, just look at this title. This title, I've never seen this website before. You have to go to these obscure websites to get these small name companies. Parameter.io. Okay. TSS Inc. stock plunges 5%. It's a bigger than 5% drop. As 40% Q3 revenue drop masks big 2025 momentum in AI integration. Look at all the lipstick they just slathered on the snout of that pig. All right, a 40% revenue drop, but they have to finish with masks big 2025 momentum. No, that's not how that works. When your revenue drops 40%, that means your momentum is gone. You're slowing down. You're losing momentum. But, you know, it's AI. We have to say these big, wonderful things. TSS Inc. closed at 1525 yesterday. We'll see where it is now. 5.63% lower after posting a 40% revenue decline in the third quarter. 40% decline. Almost cut in half in their revenue. Whoa, that came out of nowhere. WTF. The data center services firm reported $41.9 million in total revenue for the period ended September 30th. The company cited lower procurement demand and operational challenges in its systems integration segment as key drivers of the shortfall. The broader financial picture showed ongoing momentum from rapid growth earlier this year. Despite the quarterly dip, year-to-date revenue surged 88% to $184.8 million. They're trying to lean on numbers they reported, revenue they earned in prior quarters, to be like, you see, this quarter's not so bad. No, that doesn't work that way. The firm highlighted strong performance in AI infrastructure integration and continued investment in expanding capacity. The demand is insane. The net loss of $1.5 million. Oh, wait, they lost money? What? Net loss of $1.5 million contrasted with last year's $2.6 million profit, underscoring short-term operational strain. Don't worry, guys. The operational strain is transitory. Diluted earnings per share turned negative at 6 cents compared with 10 cents a year earlier in positive earnings. Gross profit fell 41% to $4.6 million, reflecting cost pressures from the new factory and equipment depreciation, paging Dr. Michael Burry. Look at what TSS stock is doing right now, down 36%. Yikes, 35.5%, $9.81. They're like, oh, it was down 5% yesterday. Don't worry, short term. But, oh, all that momentum from last quarter, pardon me, while I lose 35%. Now, here's the thing, guys. TSS, these guys do liquid cooling solutions for data center servers, GPU servers. Their biggest client, nearly 100% of their revenue is Dell. So if these guys get 100% of their revenue from Dell and their revenue was down 40% quarter over quarter, what might that tell us about Dell, who reports earnings next week? Well, either Dell found somebody else to replace TSS, or Dell isn't selling anything either. And that's why TSS went down. Now, that's interesting because Supermicro just reported a lousy quarter. Supermicro also makes server racks, and they're like, don't worry, it was just a delay. I don't know. This isn't good. This bubble's bursting, guys. SoftBank shares plunged nearly 9%, extending sell-off into third day. Look, SoftBank sold all of their NVIDIA stock in order to buy NVIDIA's chips. That's just stupid. They deserve to sell off. By the way, SoftBank's earnings, they totally manufactured their earnings out of thin air. SoftBank bought a couple of shares of OpenAI from OpenAI shareholders or OpenAI employees. They paid more than they paid for their prior stake in OpenAI. And then when they did that, they're like, see, OpenAI trades at a higher price, and therefore we're going to mark up our prior investments in OpenAI. And presto, $8 billion of earnings magically appears. Financial alchemy from Masa-san. This company is another one that's probably headed for some severe pain. Now, look at this one. Again, guys, we're watching this bubble burst in real time here. Financial Times dated this morning, Phantom data centers, muddy forecasts for U.S. power needs. What is a phantom data center? Well, let's find out. U.S. data center developers are flooding utilities with inflated growth plans, muddying efforts to plan for future power needs with projects that may never materialize. Wait, let's repeat that again. I feel like some of you maybe aren't quite taking the walk with me here. Projects that may never materialize. That's important. Developers are approaching multiple utilities with the same project in a quest to find the lowest price power, leading to so-called phantom data centers, according to energy industry experts and company executives. The plans are being left in the queue of projects waiting to connect to the grid, even after they are no longer viable, leading to bloated demand forecasts. Wait, projects no longer viable? Bloated demand forecasts may never materialize? Who's been saying that for the last 2 years? Because utilities can recover the cost of new plants and lines through customer rates, concerns have arisen that clients will end up footing the bill for stranded and underused power plants and transmission lines. That's not good for Oklo. Josh Price, director of energy at utilities at Capstone, a research firm, said even the folks who benefit the most from sky-high projections are realizing what happens if the pendulum swings back the other way and rates get unaffordable. Last month, AEP Ohio, part of American Electric Power, cut its list of pending projects by nearly 30%, saying it had culled opportunistic would-be developers who lack financial strength to complete a data center. They're saying, we're not counting these projects. They're never going to happen because the people trying to build them don't have the money. Oh, exactly what Jack has been saying for 2 years, but I digress. And California utility PG&E revised down its data center pipeline by 400 megawatts, equivalent to about 25 data centers or 250,000 homes. There's an ongoing trend of whittling down, said Julian Dumoulin-Smith of Power Utilities and Clean Energy Analyst at Jefferies. How many projects are real at this point? That's what I don't know. Huh. That MF-er's not real. That's what I say to a lot of these projects. Guys, there's some seriously alarming language. If you've been following this bubble and you realize how much is riding on this, like basically everything is riding on this, this should scare the shit out of you. Pardon my French. Meanwhile, this one, shout out to Miles Udland on Twitter, who is sharing this letter that he got from a Substack post by Mr. Alex Heath, attribution, talking about this letter Mark Zuckerberg sent to staff at Meta after their earnings. Zuck's message to Meta staff post-earnings, even if we're wrong about our AI investments, we're not going to go bankrupt. What? Bankrupt? Meta? No, he's saying we won't go bankrupt. Luckily, everybody else will. Then he expounded on a version of the answer he gave me recently in our last interview. This is an excerpt from his Substack. He noted that while unprofitable startups like OpenAI and Anthropic risk bankruptcy if they misjudge the timing of their investment, Meta has the advantage of strong cash flow. In other words, we can keep losing money on AI because our other business is profitable. He also made the point that while big tech has historically been relatively debt-free compared to large companies in other sectors, the AI infrastructure race is leading Meta and its peers to start using leverage in a more normal way relative to their size. Depending on where you sit, normal is quite relative, of course. Like me, he told me in September, Zuckerberg acknowledged to employees that Meta's market cap could suffer if his timing is wrong and the bubble bursts. But the message was clear. We'll have the balance sheet to survive and emerge stronger than most on the other side. In other words, Zuckerberg is saying, don't worry, it's only my shareholders who will lose money. I'm not going to lose my job. I'm not sure that it really works that way. But look, he's saying OpenAI, Anthropic, risk bankruptcy. Well, yeah, that's why they're going to the government for bailouts now. And who's going to pay for that? Well, we all know who's going to pay for that. Wall Street Journal telling us the quiet part out loud. Who will pay for the AI revolution? Retirees. Gee, who's been saying this for 2 years? Jeez. By the way, none of these guys are talking to me. Actually, none of them are talking to me. They're still telling you, don't listen to me, and filing copyright strikes against me when I comment on their stuff. And now they're saying exactly what I've been saying for 2 years. Bite me, Dow Jones. Insurance companies seeking to fund retirement plans can be natural buyers of data center debt. The global bet on AI could require trillions of dollars of borrowing. Who might lend that much? How about America's retirees? Tech companies are facing an enormous investment need that will outstrip even their considerable existing resources. Morgan Stanley analysts in July estimated that of the roughly $3 trillion that's expected to be in global data center capital expenditures through 2028, Only about half of that could be funded by projected cash flows. That would leave roughly $1.5 trillion of financing gap. And where are they going to get it? They're going to get it from your nest egg, guys. They're already doing it. And I've been telling you this is what they're going to do. Meanwhile, life insurance companies need to invest a growing wave of retirement money to help people generate income when they aren't working. This represents the peak of the number of people turning 65 in the U.S. this year, which has helped fuel another record for sale of U.S. annuities, with $345 billion sold through the first 9 months of the year, according to the industry group LIMRA. Demand from insurers has broadly been a driving force in credit markets. It's one other factor helping drive spreads on investment-grade corporate bonds, or the premium they pay above yield on benchmark treasuries, to around their tightest level since the 1990s. And there's a lot of financial gobbledygook in here that you really need to understand what this means, guys. Annuities, right? Like grandma's ultra safe retirement investment, where she gives the insurance company all of her money, and then they just pay her a little bit every month for the rest of her life. Oh, okay. It's safe. It's fixed income. So grandma can be taken care of in her golden years. What is the insurance company doing with that money? They're lending it to freaking Applied Digital, to freaking all these shitco data center builders. They're lending it to them. And because these spreads are tightening, the interest rate that they're demanding for it, they're actually demanding lower interest rates for it? What? Yes. Yield spreads are tightening. Now, up until yesterday anyway, I think that Applied Digital story is probably going to reverse that. But ever since they made it legal for these alternative assets to be dumped into people's retirements, there has been a huge wave of other people's money chasing this crap. And the people making the decision don't care if they're overpaying because it's not their money. They're just collecting fees for the transaction. And that's causing these spreads to tighten. People are overpaying for risky dog shit. Who? Retirees. Grandma's annuity. I'm not surprised that it's happening. I'm amazed that the Wall Street Journal will admit that it's happening. That's what surprises me. All right. I think we beat the AI pig to death this morning. I don't know. Maybe we'll kick it one more time while it's down just because. But Verizon to cut about 15,000 jobs as new CEO restructures, sources say. Look, that's pretty much the story here, guys. Verizon, they raised their prices. They lost subscribers while AT&T and T-Mobile, the other guys, are doing a lot of promos around the new iPhones and things like that to try to get new customers. They're all stealing market share from Verizon. Now Verizon is adding to the wave of layoffs. 15,000 more layoffs. Shout out to my friends at MacroEdge, who sent me this one yesterday. Meanwhile, the pain in China is continuing to pile up. China's economy stumbles after unprecedented slump in investment. We're running a little short on time here, guys. So let's just do the highlights. China's economic activity cooled more than expected at the start of the fourth quarter. Unprecedented slump in investment and slower growth in industrial output. Fixed asset investment shrank 1.7% in the first 10 months of the year. Industrial production climbed just 4.9%. That is the smallest gain since the start of the year. And the government stimulus measures have been slow to feed into the economy, with domestic demand weakening across the board and borrowing demand failing to pick up despite a total of ₩1 trillion in stimulus approved since the end of September. Look, the wealth effect in China, people's homes are worth less money. It's going down. It is showing China's consumer economy is slowing. Industrial output still growing, but just barely. The trade war is weighing on that. And of course, investment is way down because nobody's building buildings because the people who build the buildings went bankrupt. China's in big trouble here. But so are we. Everybody is. Don't worry. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. U.S. to remove tariffs on some products from Ecuador, Argentina, Guatemala, and El Salvador. Yep, the price of bananas, the price of coffee got so high that we're removing the tariffs in order to make them more affordable. You think this might have something to do with Republicans getting their clock cleaned in the off-year state elections a couple weeks ago? You better believe it does. And so we're lowering tariffs to bring prices down after spending the last, 7 months telling everybody that tariffs don't raise prices because they're paid by the other countries. No, they're not. They're paid by the importers, and the importers pass the prices on to consumers. Why don't we just be honest with people? Why don't we just tell them, yes, your prices are going to go up, and that's going to be painful, especially in the short term. But in the long run, we hope it will result in more and better middle-class production jobs like the U.S. economy used to have. and a more well-rounded, prosperous economy that's less vulnerable to disruptions from overseas. Why don't we just tell people the truth, give them credit instead of insulting their intelligence and talking to them like they're imbecilic children? Just an idea. Hey, I'm just here to throw these out there. You guys, you want to throw them right back at me, you go ahead. Meanwhile, Walmart CEO Doug McMillon is retiring in 2026 to be replaced by Ferner. This one was announced this morning. I think this was somewhat expected. He's not retiring effective immediately. They already have a replacement in mind. They're not naming an interim CEO or anything like that. But Walmart is an important consumer name at a time when the consumer is really struggling, and we don't really know how much because we have something of a dearth of data because of the government shutdown. We should be getting some of that data shortly now. But Walmart CEO stepping down. Some people are being cautious and ringing the register here. We've got the stock is down about 2.2%, $100.93, only off by 1.6%. So Walmart is recovering here, but down a little bit on that news. Last one I want to talk about, shout out to the Junk Bond Investor on Twitter, at Junk Bond Invest. This story cracks me up. They're talking about debt for this company. What is it called? Medallia, I think, is the name of the company. Apollo says 77 cents on the dollar. KKR says 91 cents on the dollar. Same loan, same company, same quarter, a 14-point gap on Medallia debt, a record spread for private credit. Illiquidity premium includes the premium of making up your own price. And the reason I bring this up, guys, is, you know, put on your Drew Carey hat and you'd be like, you know, hey, welcome to private credit, where the companies don't make any money and the prices are totally made up out of thin air. What were the numbers again? They said 77 cents from Apollo, 91 cents for KKR for the same thing. Why don't you guys just admit that you don't have any idea what this debt is worth and you're just arbitrarily making up these numbers, most likely to the benefit of whatever your personal position is in this instrument. And this is all going on while this stuff is being parked in your 401k and your IRA, thanks to President Trump's executive order on alternative assets. And this is the same kind of crap that they're using to try to inflate the AI bubble. And nobody really knows what the stuff's worth. They just make it up. Oh, that's great. You got to love it. You just got to love it. Hey, I just want to say thank you very much. Whoa, we got a lot of you guys here. I bet you I got a message from Mish saying we're getting a few deep. Lena Carlisle, thank you so much for becoming a member. Welcome to the channel. I appreciate the support of the channel very much. By the way, just a reminder, if you are a Melonhead member, you get that free super chat every month. Feel free to use that. I'll read and respond to your questions on the air. M&J, whoa, girl. 50 Nobody Special Finance memberships. The Melon Patch is getting bigger today, guys. Melon seeds are back on the menu. Thank you so much, M&J, for everything you do for the channel. You are awesome. You are a sweetheart, and you are a ferocious moderator to boot. M&J does a lot for the channel behind the scenes, guys. Thank you so much, M&J, for that. I really appreciate it. Arthur Vandelay, who always wanted to pretend he was an architect, said, everybody forgot yield curve inversion from 2 to 3 years ago. Pepperidge Farm remembers. 95% accurate recession predictor. Fed funds rate, 5.25% was always going to pop the bubble. You know, you could say 2 to 3 years ago, that's when the recession started, and we never left it, or we never got out of it. They just, again, slathered on the lipstick on that pig. Private credit, AI data center buildouts that just destroy money, government deficits, 6 to 7% of GDP. It's all fake. It's been my thing all the time. I've been getting all this okay doomer stuff in the comments because I've been saying, look, guys, look at what's really here. This is all bullshit. Look at the real economy. 90% of people are like just kicking like crazy to keep their head above water. You know, like the meme of the little kid in the pool is drowning and then mommy's over on the side with the other kid totally ignoring it. Well, the little kid in the pool, that's 90% of the country. And then mommy's got the little AI baby up on the side of the pool. Oh, yay, look at my insane demand. Yep, I'm right there with you, Arthur Vandelay. 2 to 3 years ago, that yield curve inversion, it's a pretty good predictor. Thank you, sir, for supporting the channel. Appreciate all the research you've been doing and sending to me, by the way, sir. Thank you very much for that. Whoa, Nacho Man, a purple one. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that very much. I really appreciate the generosity. He says, happy Friday, Jack. Great chat every day. Thank you so much, Nacho Man. I really appreciate your generosity, sir, and your support of the channel and the good vibes. Thank you very much. Hey, Pasta Man, he's the one who sent me that TSS story. Thank you for sending me that story again, Pasta. He says, tariffs, not a tax. Yeah, kind of is. Identical to seller pays your agent's commission. Oh, really? Where does the seller get the money from? Excellent work, Mr. Jack and Mr. Mish. Yeah, great point. Yeah, don't worry. The seller pays the commission. And well, the seller gets the money from the buyer, which means the buyer is paying the commission. Yep, that is how that works, Pasta Man. Abso-freaking-lutely. You know, you can rearrange it. And you can verbally try to bless it away. Tariffs will lead to higher prices. We don't know how much. There is still the question of how much margin compression will we see, like with the Japanese automakers. They have eaten most of the tariffs and not raised their prices, which is why their profit margins have just utterly collapsed. But that's because you have inelastic, you have a market that cannot absorb higher prices in autos. People are already defaulting on their car loans in record numbers. They can't afford higher prices. So we will see higher prices from tariffs. The question is how much, but let's just be honest about it. Like, just seriously, stop insulting people's intelligence. It's insulting. Insults are insulting. Imagine that. Hey, thanks, Pasta Man, for everything you do for the channel. Mr. PP Poo Poo says 2026 bingo card. We're getting awful specific now. He says, Jack goes on Fox to talk about AI bubble once it implodes. Paging Charles Payne. See, Payne, I love you. I'll go on Charles Payne. I like Chuck. He's one of the few in the financial press that I really can get behind. How are you not already at 1 million subs? Thanks for all you do and God bless. You know, I share the same question. How am I not at 1 million subs? All I can tell you, PP Poo Poo, is feel free to share my channel with 930,000 of your closest friends and family, and we'll get that million subs, baby. Come on. You know, I don't ask for much. Just a little word of mouth. Might want to get busy on that. Hey, thank you so much for the kind words and the 2026 prediction, sir. Clark Hartage, thank you, sir, becoming a Melonhead member. I appreciate the support of the channel, Clark. You, sir, are a gentleman and a scholar. Uncle Fedster, thank you, sir, for the generosity. He says, ordered 10 ICs this AM for a total of $58 and got two tariff shockers. First was a 56% tariff charge of $32.50. I'm guessing, by the way, ICs, we're talking about integrated circuits here, some kind of circuit cards. I think that's what we're talking about. Maybe industrial capacitors. I'm getting this as some kind of electrical component. Okay, but first was a 56% tariff charge, $32.50. Oh, but don't worry, they're paid by the Chinese, right? Yeah, that's no, it's not paid by you, apparently. Second was sales tax of $7.02. Oh yeah, sales tax is added on top of the tariffs. So wait, you're paying sales tax on the tariff too? So the tax on the tax squared? Now we're thinking like the IRS, baby. All right. Yeah, we're going to make so much money. Let's give people another $2,000 stimmy check while we're at it. Yikes. But the good news is prices won't be going up, Uncle Fedster. That's the good news. You know, as you're struggling with the higher prices, take comfort in knowing the prices aren't going to go higher. Sure. Thank you very much, sir, for supporting the channel. I appreciate the anecdata. That's a big one there. Steve Wood says an AI stock flush will likely take everything down with it. Yeah, it will, bud. But what assets do you think will recover? All assets will recover except AI shares. Let me explain a little bit here. I know we're getting kind of long here, guys. Cisco just broke even from 2000 price levels yesterday. All right. Cisco peaked during the dot-com bubble in March of 2000. Yesterday, you broke even. So if you're a Cisco shareholder and you've been holding for 25 years, congratulations, you broke even while inflation ate you alive. All right. AI stocks will not come back anytime soon, not for decades. That's the pure play AI names. Big tech, I'm sure, will, like, you know, quantum computing or robots or time travel, whatever the next new shiny new thing is, they'll stir up another bubble. It might take them a few more years to stir up the next bubble. People are going to be really sore after this one. So big tech may take 10 years to recover here. But everything else that's going to get dragged down and sold off with it, I think will come ripping back when the government does what they always do and start helicopter money and the Fed starts printing to pay for it. When that happens, everything comes ripping back except the names that really caused this. So look, gold, silver probably sells off with everything else like we're seeing today. You'll probably get a look at gold and silver at a really good price, and then they spin up the money printers and it rips just like happened after the vid. So, you know, it's a good time to have some dry powder, understanding you've got the carrying cost of inflation. Treasury bills are nice. If you're worried about inflation, you can park and make 3.9% on a one-month T-bill while you're preserving your cash. At the very least, you're breaking even there. You're not being eaten alive by inflation. But my first thing, I think, if they start printing money again. Gold and silver obviously going to rip. And look, when everything sells off, look for value names. Look for companies in like consumer staples that maybe pay a nice little dividend. Those names are going to be dragged down into the mud with everything else. You can probably get the people who sell soap and juice and bread and stuff people need, whether the economy is good or not. You'd probably be able to get them at a discount. So, you know, get your shopping list ready, guys. Thank you, Steve, for supporting the channel. Madison Hype says, what does SEC Yellen think about AI junk bonds? Well, I think those AI junk bonds are just wonderful. Actually, if I had to say, I'd speculate that those AI junk bonds are strong and resilient. And I think the demand for these things will be insatiable. As a matter of fact, I used Sora AI to make some farm animal porn just the other day. Whoa, hold on, Janet. It's a family show. Sorry, can't let you go there. What you do in your own time, Janet, that's your business. I'm not judging. But there might be kids watching. All right, so take it easy. Madison, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Janet likes the AI bonds here. I'm not a big fan of the Janet, though. So, you know, you guys make up your own mind. Thank you, Madison, for queuing up my Janet there. ND22121 says, Fortune 500 company I work for wants us to incorporate an objective for 2026 on how we can use AI to better our work. Oh, those development plans where they force you. I remember I'm having flashbacks of my development plan I had to do every year. Oh, so everybody's got an AI goal. Yay. All right, everybody. We're inflate the bubble without telling me to inflate the bubble. All I can tell you is, my friend Colin at Oyster Creek, the nuclear plant where I used to work, Colin was one of those guys who didn't say much, but when he did say something, it was either, number one, very intelligent. Colin was a brilliant engineer. Or number two, it was hilarious because this guy could dial up the snark like you couldn't believe. And Colin famously told me one time, he said, listen, Jack, when you're doing these development plans, if you can't blind them with brilliance, then just baffle them with bullshit. That's all I can tell you. That's my only advice for that one, ND22121. Thank you very much for that story. Chris Bott says, I'm wearing green shorts. Do you wear pants during these morning updates? I'll never tell. It's a family show. Don't make me bring out my Janet again. Don't make me, Chris. What you do in your own time, that's your business. T.A. Chapman says, as a Marine, you're making me hungry with all these crayons being eaten. Thank you for your service, Mr. Chapman, at risk of sounding cliche. Yeah, I know, Marines, you be liking them crayons. Oh, those orange Crayolas. Them's good eating. He says, happy Friday. Like and sub. Awesome interviews recently. DeMartino Booth next. I would love to have Danielle DeMartino Booth on the channel. That is a great idea. I'm going to add that to my list. And we are working on streamlining the interviews and the guest process. Try to keep that flowing while I've got other irons in the fire. Thanks again, you salty leatherneck, you. I appreciate everything you did for the channel. Marines, you guys are a rare breed, but I'm glad you're there. Somebody's got to be standing on the wall. Thank you, sir. Justin Evans says, please, oh, please, interview Ed Steer. M&J, are you getting all this? Ed Steer. All right, we got Danielle. We got Ed. I'm putting them on the list. Okay. All right. Hey, we do take requests. Sure, why not? Justin Evans used his super chat. Thank you for being a Melonhead for 11 months. I'll look into that. Absolutely. M&J, there she is again. She says, mod language, please. I had to time you. Oh, I got timed out by my own moderator. There we go. I'm sorry, M&J. I can do better. She's going to wash out my mouth with soap when we're done here. M&J keeps me in line. Thank you so much, M&J, for everything you do for the channel. I'm sorry. I just get a little excited sometimes. Jesus San Miguel became a YouTube Melonhead member. Jesus, I apologize if I butchered your name there. I don't get out much. My non-regional pronunciation is not so good. But welcome to the Melon Patch, sir. Thank you so much for supporting the channel. I appreciate that very much. Hey, we got a lot of new members, by the way. Today at 2 p.m. Eastern Time is our weekly get-together on Zoom for my magnanimous Melonhead members on YouTube, Patreon, and Buy Me a Coffee. So hopefully I'll see some of you new guys on that one. Thanks again, Jesus. Dave, man, a lot of you guys today. Dave says, thanks, brother. Love your show. Dave with the beagle and soccer ball. I appreciate the good vibes, sir, and the support of the channel. Thank you very much. Scott Dickert says, box of breakfast crayons for your text bros. Yep, nothing washes down the breakfast crayons quite like a little bit of coffee there. But I tell you, man, I have met some some real intellectuals, if you know what I mean, in my debates on the AI bubble. Some of these people, all they're capable of doing is repeating something they heard Sam Altman say one time and act like it's their own independent deep thought and like, oh, wow, congratulations, a-hole. You watched a TED Talk once. Good for you. Ride that rocket, baby. Hey, thanks a lot, Scott. Appreciate the super support of the channel, sir. Chris, not a lot to say, just being a swell guy, but I did just get a text here. What's he saying? Mish says, no question. Thank you, Mish. I appreciate that. You are Johnny on the spot. But hey, Chris, thank you for supporting the channel. I appreciate that right there. Before the close, guys, I think this is it. I think this bubble's popping. NVIDIA's got to pull a rabbit out of the hat, which they have done before, but they've got to do that next week. And even if they pull a rabbit out of the hat, the market might say, that rabbit kind of sucks. It's not big enough, and sell off the stock anyway. And if this crap in the bond market is any indicator, this CoreWeave CDS, the applied digital bond offering, the TSS earnings, the thing about the utilities and the power, oh boy. Oh boy. Wear a helmet, make some popcorn, and have some fun watching it all burn, guys. That's all I can say. We've been warning about it for years, so if it catches you off guard, I tried. Hey, thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. Thank you so much for all the generosity and the super chats. You guys are awesome. I appreciate that. Also, shout out to you magnanimous Melonheads on YouTube, Patreon, Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get together at 2 p.m. Eastern time today for our weekly talk on Zoom. Links down below should you feel so inclined. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button for the YouTube algorithm. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.